star of wonder, star of night.
A cold coming we had of it.
Star of royal beauty bright.
Just the worst time of the year.
Westward leading, still proceeding.
For a journey, and such a journey.
Guide us to thy perfect light.
Night sky with me, the stars up above. Night sky with me, I think of your love.
Iske, water, and Fionn, the water's clear. But dip and find this Gaelic water, Greek. A phoenix flames upon Fionn Iske here. Strangers were Barbaroi to the Greek ear. Now let the heirs of all who could not speak the language, whose babbling was unclear, come with their gift of tongues past each frontier and find the answering voices that they seek, as Fionn and Iske answer Phoenix here.
The strangers came in the late afternoon as my father drew the cafe shutters down. I watched through the beads from the kitchen. My mother watched and listened too, but she pretended not to. She stood by the stove and tended our evening meal, though it needed no tending. My brothers were too young to understand. They sat on the floor playing as they always did. My fat, happy boys.
We knew why they were here. We were not the first family on our street to be visited by these men, offering to escort people to the coast, and then across the sea to Greece. Soon every street of this town will be bombed and burned, the leader of the strangers said. What good will your money be then, when it is burning? It took three visits for my father and the strangers to come to agreement. They told him I couldn't come, that he should find a husband for me or leave me with relatives. We will arrange a husband for her, they said, for a small extra fee. No, my father said. No, no, no. She's too young to be married, or to be left behind by her family. The men laughed at this. Then, on the third evening, their leader spoke. In a low voice, slowly. It would make me sad not to help you, my friend. But my time and my patience run short. And my father sighed and accepted the man's prize and his terms, and shook the man's hand. It was agreed that if I were to go on the journey, my uncle's son would have to travel with us, and that he'd carry a gun, and that an extra sum of money would be put aside for bribes to be paid for my safe passage along the road to the coast.
What short memories we've got, because the Irish left this country to migrate. We know what political asylum means with all of these people walking towards the boat, starving and oppressed. And I thought, what short memories we've got.
I'm 15, orphaned by famine. The workhouse is overcrowded. Diseases everywhere. The British are sending girls to Australia. Over 4,100 of us, aged mostly between 14 and 18, arrived in Australia. between 1848 and 1850. What did Australians make of us orphan girls? A set of ignorant creatures whose whole knowledge of household duties barely reaches to distinguishing the inside from the outside of the potato.
Sail, sail, sail me away. Sail to Australia. Sail, sail, sail me, I pray. Sail me away to Australia.
My relatives came to our cafe the night before we left. My mother held her brothers and her sister close and cried and cried. My grandmother said, "Shh, it's for the best. This madness all will end and you will come back again. The school will be open again. The buildings will be built again. Maybe," she said to me, "you will be a doctor when you come back, or a teacher. How proud I will be then." And I didn't know what to say. So I just held her hand and tried my hardest to smile.
An image of a little boy injured in a Syrian airstrike has caused outrage around the world.
It's rare that we have to warn you right from the top of the newscast about what you're about to see, but the photo we're going to show you has quickly resonated across the world. It is the image of a lifeless child in the arms of a rescuer on a Turkish beach.
Like everyone that looked at that image of that young Syrian child on the paper today, you think of your own five-year-old child. And
the body of one small boy cradled into Turkish police officers' arms. He was from Kobani in Syria. His boat sank last night on the way to Greece.
I can't even imagine any father or any mother their kids to die in their arm, and they can't do anything.
What kind of children were they, Aylan and his brother?
My children were the most beautiful in the world. Is there anybody for whom their child is not the most precious thing? Everything is gone.
Aleppo is a place where the children have stopped crying. The children have stopped crying.
We left in the early morning on a day when the sun was low in the red sky. My father held the key to our cafe and our home to his lips for a moment, then to his heart. And he and my mother stood facing each other, and they both smiled. My father put his gentle hand on my mother's cheek before turning to where we waited in the stranger's jeep. My cousin and two of the strangers sat cross-legged at the sides and rear of the jeep. My brothers sat in the center of the flatbed of the jeep, looking excitedly around them, reaching for my cousin and his gun. The gun looked too big for my cousin. He carried it awkwardly, like a man with a baby, nervous and unsure. He's 16, 4 years older than me, and he has a beautiful face. Sometimes when he smiles, his eyes change color and light up, and the light in his eyes seems to dance. We were stopped 3 times on our journey to the coast. The leader of the strangers did the talking from the driver's seat. My parents sat on either side of me, silently, looking straight ahead through the windscreen. Money was paid each time and we were allowed to continue on our way. I could feel my mother shaking beside me and hear her whispered prayers.
Around 3,800 Syrian civilians have been killed in 1 year of Russian airstrikes, according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights.
A further 5,500 fighters from rebel groups and the so-called Islamic State have also been killed.
Just when we think it cannot get any worse, the bar of depravity sinks lower.
Well, obviously, this was a devastating blow to the aid operation in Syria, and we are devastated by the loss.
Nonetheless, I think this question of what actually happens to the individuals who are evacuated from eastern Aleppo is still a very live one, and I think something that the international community needs to continue to be seized with.
We reached the coast at sunset, and a huge bird swooped and screeched above the jeep. My brother shouted in delight and fear. My cousin aimed his gun and pretended to shoot it. "Bang!" he said, and my brothers roared with laughter. Then one of the strangers took the gun back from my cousin and smiled at him and said, "You've been a soldier. And now you will be a sailor." And he showed my cousin and my father a rectangular box covered in buttons and lights. "Hold this," he said. "When you are on course, these lights will be on, and you will hear a steady beeping. This machine will guide you to the island." "Hold on," my father said. "Who will be piloting the boat?" "You will," the leader of the strangers said, "and this boy will help you," putting his hand on my cousin's shoulder. "It is easy. It just takes a bit of muscle," and one of the other men slapped my cousin's back, and he looked at once proud and scared. "That was not our contract," my father said, and the men laughed and asked if he'd like to speak to a lawyer. My father just stood on the rocky beach as the sun slipped away and the rising moon drew a silver path for us along the sea.
يلا تحب الصوم يلا تجيها العوافي.
طير الحمام روحي يا حمام لا تسدي تضحك عاري ما تتنام ريما ريما الحندقة شعرك أشقر ومنقة واللي حبك بيبوسك اللي بغضك شو بيترقى
Hello, I am Benet. I am 7 years old. I am from Aleppo. I am living in this is Aleppo with 100,000 children. We are living under siege for 3 months. I would like to tell you there is no food, no clean water, no medicine, no hospitals, no schools, no medicine.
كل ما هب الهوى لقطف ناري ما مشمشي هي وهيلينا تستكلك لك عيرينا تنغسلت يا بريما ننشرون علي ياسمين
This is not a ship. My father said, it's a dinghy, a rubber dinghy. 7 or 8 more families were standing with us now, more than 40 people. The strangers were gone, back along the road that was close to us now, back towards the bullets and the flames. The only refuge in that moment was offered by the sea. And so my father and my cousin and some of the other men heaped the baggage into the center of the boat and dragged the orange craft down to the water's edge and stowed the battery bags at the diesel drum tightly. And we climbed aboard. And my cousin and my father pulled a rope to start the engine. And I closed my eyes against the fear of the water and the grinning moon. And the thought that we might sink, that my brothers and my parents and my cousin would be drowned. There weren't enough life jackets to go around, and so my brothers wore one each, and my cousin because he was perched high on the diesel drum in order to operate the guidance machine and to help keep the tiller steady. And my mother and I held one across our laps, and my father wore only his coat with his collar turned up against the cool breeze. And the hours passed.
And the hours passed.
And the sea rolled beneath
us. And the sea rolled beneath us.
And the dinghy rose.
And the dinghy rose and fell. And a woman sitting near us cried in fear. And all the men were silent and the children huddled tight against their mothers. And the luggage slid and scattered. The guiding machine was still flashing and beeping in a steady rhythm. And my cousin and my father held the tiller steady. And my father called out that the bags would have to be thrown overboard. There's too much weight, he shouted. We're too low in the water. Another man stood and cried out, this thing is leaking air. And then a wave broke over us, and we screamed at the shock and the sudden cold of it. And the men began to throw the suitcases and bags and bedrolls one by one to the angry sea. And then a man was shouting at my father and my cousin to turn the boat sideways to the waves. And another man was shouting, no, face them head on. And the waves were high as houses, and the wind was fierce and ceaseless, and my mother's prayers were all ignored. And my brothers clung to her and to me, and their cries were muffled against our breasts. And the moon had a glimpse through the gathered clouds at us. And she hid herself again as though in shame.
Another river line for
And my father now is screaming at the sea, "Daughter, my daughter." And my mother and my brothers and my cousin are standing near a railing on a big ship, and they look like angels, wearing shiny silver cloaks. And a man in a blue and grey uniform has his hand on my father's shoulders, and he's trying to move my father back from the railing. But my father is resisting him. And my mother is on her knees now, and her forehead is touching the deck of the rescue ship. And she is crying. Why? Oh, why? Oh, why? And I am sad that my father is screaming, and my mother is crying, and my brothers are silent in fear. And I am sad that I have to leave them for this cold, cold sea, that I will never see my home again. I wish I could say to my father, please, don't cry.
Please don't cry.
Just as you said you'd never leave me. So I will always be with you.
Just as you said you'd never leave me. So I will always be with you.
Continue on your journey.
Continue on your journey.
Mayday hills were burning far and near when our land's first footers beached boats in the creek. In Iske, Fionn, strange words that soon grew clear. So on a day when newcomers appear, let it be a homecoming, and let us speak the unstrange word as behoves us here. Move lips, move minds, make new meanings flare, like beacons signaling from peak to peak, from Middle Sea to North Sea, shining clear as phoenix flames upon Fionn Iske here.